Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
All the saints said good morning. Turn to somebody and say, good morning, saint. Go ahead. You know, the young people have a hard time with that. They say, you a saint? The Bible says we are saints. The Bible also says we are priests. You call somebody a priest. But we are really priests in the kingdom of God. We are priests. And we have a tremendous opportunity and responsibility. Now, Pastor Ralph mentioned that last week we talked about the fear of man, fear of situation, spirit of fear. And it's something that's so negative. God speaks against it, and Jesus addressed it more than he addressed any of the stuff. When he commanded, he gave 21 directives not to be afraid. So what I'm sharing this morning is the antithesis of that, is the opposite of it totally. It's something that God encourages and says is very, very important. The fear of the Lord. Say it with me. The fear of the Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts would be open, our minds would be receptive, and your word, Lord, would not return void. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would just apply it as you see fit. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Ralph already spoke about that some words are given, as that word was given this morning. Not necessarily for everybody, although everybody could benefit from it. But sometimes it speaks to a particular person. About 7 or 8 years ago, the Lord showed me I was an archer. When I stood here on a Sunday morning, I was an archer. And I took the arrow of the Word of God, bathed it with God's Word, put it in the bow, and my responsibility was to pull back as far as I could and let it go. And it was his responsibility to go through the congregation and just find its target.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you go, ooh, today, that's just the arrow hitting you. If you go to sleep, then that's my fault. But I would ask you to give me your ears this morning. Give me your understanding, your heart. Because what we say this morning is very, very important. The fear of the Lord. I'll introduce it with one scripture from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And I want this to be the very foundation of everything that we say this morning. Acts 9:31. Let's put it up there. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, that's the whole area that Jesus ministered in. That's what we would call the Greater Palestine. All through that area, the church, the new church. Remember, this is only chapter 9 of Acts. Chapter 2, we had the coming of the Holy Spirit. The church was born. So the church throughout that area enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers. How did it do all of that? Living in the fear of the Lord. Now, we talk on Wednesday nights about harvesting the word. And I want to just harvest some of these words this morning. Look at this. Then, in that particular moment, then, because they had been persecuted, a rough time, but at this particular moment, they would be persecuted again too. But at this particular moment, then, I want you to see the church, then the church. I want you to see the church this morning as Jubilee Faith. Can you do that?
Right.
Takes a little faith to make this Jubilee Faith. But then, Jubilee Faith, throughout all the Niagara Peninsula. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I can do this without being too far. Here's what they did. They enjoyed. Is that good?
Yeah.
They enjoyed a time of peace. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. It was strengthened. Is that good?
Yeah.
And it encouraged. Is that good?
Yeah.
Encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. It grew in numbers. Is that good?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But if we apply all of that to Jubilee, here's how it's done. Living in the fear of the Lord.
Right.
There, I'm finished. I could, really, because that's really, is it? But since you're here, I might as well give you the rest of it. Is that okay? It grew. All of this happened. All the good, positive stuff. See, we have come to that mentality where we feel that when you come to church, you should only hear positive stuff, good stuff. And if a pastor is called to that, God bless them for doing that. And I don't think, Pastor Ralph, you're called to that. I don't think I'm called to that. I don't think Julie is called to that. If we were, we would be on TV. Sorry. That's just my little attempt at humor there. We have to be careful how we see God. Because the fear of God is not a negative thing. Okay, you say, well, could you give us a definition? Okay, the fear of the Lord, slide number two. An awesome reverence and respect towards God, knowing that He is totally righteous, hello, full of mercy, grace, and truth. What is grace? Grace is what we receive from God that we do not deserve. What is mercy? What we do not receive from God that we do deserve. And that's both packaged in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Okay, so watch this now. Compensating and rewarding the obedient, and to the contrary, judging and punishing the disobedient. And that's where we have an issue. People say, we don't need that in church on Sunday morning. We don't need that side. We don't need to hear about the judging. Jesus was judged on the cross. He took away all of our sins. No more judgment coming on us. And I agree with that. You know that. It is finished. Hallelujah. But I'm going to show you from Scripture that we cannot throw that side out. Because that side is what rests the fear of the Lord. Rests on that. The understanding of the nature of God. Some people put it this way. I believe God is all righteous, all powerful, all good. Hallelujah. And I have no place for anything else. I don't judge. I don't get angry. I don't hate anything. But God's righteousness demands that He love righteousness at the same level that He hates sin. Come on now. In theater, there's a thing called a flat character. A flat character. That's not the guys in the middle of the road, the possums. Playing with my flat friends in the white line. I'm not talking about those flat friends. A flat character is somebody who is only one thing. Remember the Little House on the Prairie? It still shows sometimes. The dad, Laura's dad. What was his name? Charles Ingalls. He was a flat character. He was so nice, he was unbelievable. He was the greatest father, greatest dad, greatest husband, greatest farmer. He was everything. He never did anything wrong. But like, I understand that in real life, the man was a nice guy too. Now, I'm going to take you back even further than that. There was a show years ago, many of you can't even, never heard of it. It was called Dallas. Yeah. Yeah. And one summer, the word out was, who shot JR? Remember that? Who shot JR? It was about a family outside of Dallas, Texas, who were very rich ranchers. And they had these sons who had two brothers. One was named Bobby, and one was named JR. Bobby could do no wrong. And JR could do no right. Flat characters. Here's what I'm making the point. I'm not saying that God is not righteous and not holy, but I'm saying that His standard of holiness demands that He love righteousness at the same level that He hated sin. And His hatred for sin caused Him to give His Son to pay the most supreme price that we might be saved. So when you say, well, I love good, but I have got no place for hating anything, then you are a flat character. I'm going to show you that from Scripture this morning. Obedience always results in blessing. To the contrary, I do not say disobedience results in curses, because the curse has been dealt with. But disobedience results in consequences. The next slide, please. Deception. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This past Wednesday, at about 10 to 7, we were coming through the country. And I said to Doreen, I said, look at the crops. Is this a good year for farmers? It must be with the rain and the sunshine. I hope it is. But the corn was up like this and rich and green. That soybean was just rich green. And I thought of something. I thought of one of the farmers during the winter. He's watching TV. He's checking the online, the news, and price of world wheat and world thing and everything in the world. And he said, you know what? The word is out that corn is going to have a top price this summer. I'm going to plant corn. Every field I have, I'm going to plant corn because I'm going to make a lot of money this year. And then something happens in the world market. Somebody reveals that they've got a stockpile of 1 million tons of corn somewhere, and the price of corn drops just a few days before the sprouts were going to come up through the ground. And he says, soybean is going to be a good price this year. Lord, in Jesus' name, you said, whatever I ask for, I can have. And I'm asking that you change those seeds of corn into soybean in Jesus' name. Come, family. Come, you brother, gather the family around you. You fast and pray for 2 days, and you say, whatever I ask the Father in the name of Jesus, John 14, he will do it for me. Somebody's going to say, could he do it? Of course, he's God. Amen? He's God. But will he do it? See, this is a principle. This is a principle. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Can God intervene? Yes, and thank God he does very often. But if you've ever sown something and reaped something else as a farmer, could you come and tell me? Because I'll take that slide out. I'll just take it out. That's a reality. That's a principle. And a principle is an unchanging act of God. Some people ask, why is this happening to me? Without recognizing that they sowed the seeds. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. But thank God for truth. Grace, mercy, and truth. And we need to stop putting our heads in the sand and face the truth of the principles of God. Are you okay so far?
Yes.
I don't feel any rocks coming my way, so I'm going to keep going. Psalm 34:11, and Wendy has put that in the bulletin for us. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's not me. That's David writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit saying, if you listen, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And then Proverbs 2:5. Then, I love that word then in the Bible. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. I find when I started studying this subject that knowledge and fear of the Lord are very close together. Knowledge and fear, or even wisdom and fear of the Lord. So the question that I would like to ask is this. Why should we fear the Lord? Why should there be fear of God? No, don't forget, an awesome reverence for God, not a trembling. I thought of this, and I thought of this little fellow. His mom and dad, they have one little boy right now. He's between 3 and 4. He's not yet in kindergarten. But he spends most of his day. His mom is able to stay home with him. His dad has a good job. He gets home at 5 o'clock every evening. The little guy, one of his highlights of his day, is to stay in the window and on top of the couch looking for his dad to come home. That's his highlight. And then when he sees him, car pulling him dry, he runs to the door, Daddy! And he throws himself into his dad's arms. But if you've had little ones, you know that sometimes even little angels have bad days. Yeah? Oh, you have the perfect children. Just go to bed for a while, sleep, but If you had not had perfect children, you listen. So this little guy had a really bad day. I mean, he just wouldn't do anything his mom said. He just started talking back to her. And she tried to talk to him and even did a little correcting on him. But finally, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she said, you listen, come here. And she picked up the phone and she called his dad. And she said, here's what so-and-so has been doing, or son's been doing. She said, I don't know what else to do with him. And he says, give me the phone. Give him to me on the phone. So he said, yes. He said, son, I hear from your mom that you're not being a good boy today. He said, when I come home, you're going to be disciplined. Okay, Daddy. Now, does he fear his coming? Is he as confident as he has been when he's been a good boy? Should he be a little bit concerned about his dad's arrival that night? Maybe he didn't run to the door, Daddy! Maybe his dad had to say, where is little Johnny? Now, does he not love his dad? Does his dad not love him? In fact, if that father came home, took him aside and said, you know, your mom's really in a grouchy mood lately. It's okay, I understand. They're going to have problems with that little Johnny. But when dad agrees with the discipline, and disciplines him, not unkindly, but in love, as you as parents have done, in love. I used to tell my children before 6 years of age, I didn't believe in discipline after six because they're in school. They had to know how to obey. But in learning how to obey, I would say to them, I remember our second son one day said, you did something really bad and I'm going to give you some spankings. I said, how many do you think you deserve? So he was kneeling down by the bed. He looked up at me. Two? I said, I was thinking of five. He said, three? So we agreed on four. And I said, you know why I'm spanking you? And he said, because you love me, I think. Spanking love, amen? Never spanking anger. But if you see, if we remove, if we had no fear of God, even when we sang this morning, holy, 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 God's holy.
Yeah.
Thank God we have boldness to come into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
But it's necessary that we do not lose. That's why Jesus taught us to pray and say, our Father, our Abba, our Dad, who art in heaven. That means who created and sustains and maintains the heaven of heavens. That's who God is. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the big brother somewhere. He's Almighty God.
Right. Yeah.
And balancing those two, you know, we really need that revelation of that balance. And I'm hoping that these scriptures will do this morning. So why should we fear the Lord? One, because of who He is. Because of who He is. Jeremiah 5:22. I'm reading from the King James. Fear ye not me? Don't you fear me? Asked the Lord. Don't you fear me? Will you not tremble in my presence? Who have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over? In other words, I set the limits of the oceans. That's me. And you don't fear me? Now, here's what he says. But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Watch this, verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord. They're not saying that in their heart. Let us now fear the Lord our God, who give us rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. I find it hard to understand how a farmer who depends on the rain and the sunshine and the seasons, how they could not believe in God and have the fear of God in their home and in their hearts. I have a hard time understanding that. And this is what God recorded here in Jeremiah. He says, you are to fear the Lord simply because of who He is, the great creator and the maintainer, the sustainer of the seasons. Secondly, because of what He has done. Romans 11 is a very interesting, and I'm hoping you listen. If you need to sleep a little, you go ahead and sleep, but I want you to listen with your eyes closed. Romans 11, 21 and 22. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And I particularly did this for emphasis because if you have an Amplified, you want to turn to it, you can turn to it. If you're not, just listen to this word. Paul has this great revelation from God about the church. Such a great revelation, he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. In other words, lest I become proud in the revelation that God had given me, that was given me this thing to keep me humble. And he gets this revelation about the Jewish people and the church. And here's what he says. That is true, but they were broken or pruned off, that is the Jewish people. They were pruned off because of their unbelief, their lack of real faith. And you were established through your faith because you do believe. Believe in what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. That's the fear of God. Amen. The reverently afraid. Verse 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jewish people, neither will He spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. Now hear this. Remember I said about the two levels? Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. It's not Old Testament. This is Romans. This is the New Testament. This is after the cross. And Paul says to the people, notice and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's gracious kindness to you. That's the church in Rome. Provided, here's the condition of the promise. Provided you continue in His grace and abide in His kindness. Otherwise, you too will be pruned away. And that doesn't mean hell. You're not going to hell here. It talks about the usefulness in the kingdom of God. They were cut off from the kingdom and they will come back. Thank God for that. But you have been put into the kingdom. But if you do not do it His way, you're not going to have a part in the kingdom. You'll be cut off.
Right.
Hallelujah. You okay there so far?
Yes.
Okay. The third reason, I love this one, because Jesus is our example of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that we are, everything that we're to focus on, I hope I've established that over the last few months. Everything in the Old Testament focused on Jesus Christ. And He is our focus. He's our focus in their singing this morning. This beautiful singing. So good. It's beautiful, the focus. And here's what Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This was David and David's descendant, Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Remember, he said that in Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Watch this now. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You said Jesus had the fear of the Lord on him and in him? Yes, he did. Why? He was God. He was 100% man also. And as man, he had the fear of the Lord. The knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Watch verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Amen? Jesus exemplified and lived in knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Is it a healthy thing? It's a very healthy thing. I want to put this up there and I want you to hear this. No single aspect of the Christian life carries greater blessing than the fear of the Lord. But because there's such negativity toward the balanced God that we don't hear about the other side of Him too often. And one of the reasons is it does not stimulate good offerings. Come on now. Make people feel good and they'll give off. They'll send their money into anywhere. But we need the balance. We must have understand that God is a God who loves righteousness and hates sin so much that He sent His Son. So those who choose the fear of the Lord have these promises. If you want to use the back of your bulletin, it's a real honor to a pastor who's speaking to see people writing notes. It's really, it is. It's very honoring. And Wendy has done a great job. And I have 7 points. 7 blessings that come. There are many, many more. But there are 7. If you want to jot down, even just a scripture, you don't have to write anything else. 1 is the promise of wisdom. This is the one that we know the best. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You ever feel that you just don't know what you need to know? Especially when it comes to the Word. I've had so many full gospel, Pentecostal faith people say, I wish I had more wisdom in the things of God. Well, then choose the fear of the Lord, the promise of wisdom. 2, the promise of cleansing. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Say amen. Come on. These are good verses for amen. That cleansing, it means it's in us. The fear of the Lord is in us, right? It's not something that's in God. The fear of the Lord is in us. And the fear of the Lord is clean and purifying. 3, the promise of guidance. So many people have said to me, well, I just don't know what to do. And then the promise of a long life. So let's go to Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is he that fears the Lord? He, God, will teach him the way that he should choose. You want direction in your life? Embrace the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord adds length to life. How many of you want to live really long? Well, good. I don't want to live too long. My wife and I agree that we don't want to be sitting in a little nursing home going, "Hi, dear. Put your teeth in so I can kiss you," you know, that kind of stuff. I guess it's an ad that's on the TV. You see it, I think. It says, most Canadians, 70% of Canadians, will spend the last 10 years of their life in sickness. I don't want that. Why should we have that when we have all these promises? Amen. So if we're going to live a long life, let's live it healthily. Amen. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. That's the promises of God. One of them. Okay, the three more here. The promise of deliverance from fears. And I've gotten them so that I'm not sure when they're coming up there, Holly. So work with me here. Just, maybe you should put them all up there. I don't know. Proverbs 14:26. The fear of God builds up confidence and makes a world safe for our children. Hello. The fear of the Lord in your home will change your children for the good. Not for the bad, for the good. The promise of being fully alive. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord is life indeed. Filled with it, one rests secure and suffers no harm. Come on. Come on. Embrace this word here. This time, it's a good word. Hello. It's a word of God. I'm not bringing something else. I'm just giving you the word this morning. Number 7, the promise of a secure future. Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. It's the same promise as for wisdom. The same promise. All the things that God wants you to have if you embrace the fear of the Lord. Now, I suppose some of you are asking the question, how do you embrace the fear of the Lord? How do you choose the fear of the Lord? Well, Proverbs chapter 1. If you're not a Proverbs person, my wife and I, when the boys were little, I think even before Danielle came along, we tried reading a chapter to the kids every morning before school, and we got into Ecclesiastes. And these little guys went, "What?" And somebody gave us a Living Bible. No, we bought it for ourselves for anniversary one year, and we bought the Living Bible, and we found the proverb. And the proverb of the day, we found that Proverbs had 31 chapters. And every day we knew where to read. Most of the time you go to the Bible, where do we read? Where do we read? You know, you put your finger in everything. Read the Proverbs. Every day you know where to read. And when we came to the one that says, "Don't go outside, there may be a lion out there," the boys would go, "Arr." We know the Proverbs. And we know that there's wisdom in the Proverbs. But listen to this. Because I have called, and God is speaking through the spirit of wisdom, and the Holy Spirit, and he's writing these words through Solomon's pen. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof. In other words, it's a place where they just... I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, that's the fear we talked about last Sunday. When this kind of fear comes, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, he says this, then, that word comes up all the time in preaching, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Why, Lord? Why are you treating... Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose it. But when you look at all the blessings and I offered and you have a choice, and I say to you, how many here this morning would choose the fear of the Lord? I would hope every one of us would go, "Me, I'm standing at the front of the line. I want the fear of the Lord." I was going to stop there, but this last night, quite late, I was reading this through, and it was as though the Lord said, there's a little bit more there. So I'm going to go to verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's sowing and reaping the fruit. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Verse 33. Listen to this now. And but whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The contrast from last Sunday to this Sunday is a great contrast, saints. We want nothing to do with the fear of man, the fear of a loud noise, the fear of darkness, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. There's so many fears. It's all bundled up in a thing called a spirit of fear. It comes from the enemy. But we embrace the fear of the Lord.
Right.
Amen? We embrace the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So if I were to offer you this, Father, let's put that, Holly, this prayer at the end here. Father, I choose the fear of the Lord. Do you know how to choose the fear of the Lord? I'm going to make it just as simple. I think it may be a little more complicated, but I want it to be simple. Every time you choose to obey God, you are choosing the fear of the Lord. And every time you choose, through an act of knowledge of your will, to not obey God, you are rejecting the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is good.
Yes.
Amen. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful. I wish there was a chorus. Is there a chorus, John, with the fear of the Lord? I don't know. I'm going to close with, it's not on there. Again, I went away from the King James. And Psalm 34, verse 1 to 11. I want you to just listen carefully as we close. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. The afflicted means the sick, the discouraged. I don't know if there's any here this morning that are afflicted. Maybe some are covered up. We heard about that, covering up some things. Maybe you're afflicted because you've been covering up things instead of exposing them to the fear of the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We used to sing this. I don't know if we still do. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Okay? He delivered me from all my fears from last Sunday. Watch this now. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. You said this was David? Poor man? King of Israel? Yeah. This was when he was running from Saul for 14 years in the hills of Bethlehem. He felt that he was a poor man. So he said, this poor man called and God heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now watch this now as we build toward the fear of the Lord. The angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him. That's a promise I didn't put in the 7. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We had a lot of those choruses this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. I want to repeat that. Fear the Lord, you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Young people, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people. Those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, come, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe that what I've shared with you this morning is a good thing, I'm going to ask you to say amen to it as I pray. See, there's a way to listen to messages. You can listen to a message, and you can start to rationalize and think it through, and okay, I'll think about it for a day or two. Or you can hear something that witnesses in your spirit because it's based on God's word. And you can say, very early in the message, you can say, I embrace that. And I hope that after hearing the word, you would say this morning as we close, I embrace that. I embrace that. Would you embrace this word this morning? We're going to pray. Father, we call you Abba. And you remind us that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of the heavens and earth. And that there are angels in your presence that cry, holy, 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 without ceasing. Hallelujah. Father, may we understand you as a loving Father. May we see you as a great and mighty God who hates sin so much that you gave up your Son to die. Give us that balance today. For those who can and are willing to embrace this word today, I ask your blessing upon them. You sent your word and you healed. You sent out your word and it accomplished that it was intended to accomplish. And we embrace your word today. Hallelujah. I embrace the fear of the Lord. Would you say that to your own heart, to your own way? I embrace the fear of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings coming to my life and my family, my home, my business, and to my church. Lord, we will see growth as we live in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.